ओम ज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितमेतस्तस्य गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादा सह गणललिता शीर्षाकान्वित। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यः कृपासिन्धुभ्यः पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौर भक्त। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। I assure you that sharp at 11:30 you can celebrate Independence Day. From the Prabachan and also to go for Darshan and Abhishek. Whenever I look at Krishna Balaram, basically two thoughts always come to my mind. One is, they are the original source of Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. The ultimate proof of original source of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, how they are simultaneously one and yet different. The first manifestation in the Chaitanya Charitamrita says, सर्वावतारे कृष्ण स्वयं भगवान तहार द्वितीय देह श्री भगवान। स्वयं अवतारी कृष्ण स्वयं भगवान, ही हिमसेल्फ इज दी सर्व अवतारी। तहार द्वितीय देह एज शमानंद प्रभु वाज एक्सप्लेनिंग दैट इज बलराम। एक स्वरूप दोहे भिन्न मात्र काय आद्य काय व्यूह कृष्ण लीला रसहाय। सो एक ही स्वरूप दो है, दैट्स एब्सोल्यूटली नो डिफरेंस इन देयर आइडेंटिटी। हाउएवर भिन्न मात्र काय, ओनली द बॉडी इज डिफरेंट, टू डिफरेंट बॉडीज। आद्य काय व्यूह, दे आर लाइक द ओरिजिनल सोर्स ऑफ दैट फर्स्ट क्वाड्रुपल एक्सपेंशन। Krishna Lilara Sahai, glorifying Balaramji, and this says that original person who is actually supporting Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, as he says, mitam cha saram cha vachohi vagmita, that essential truth spoken concisely is eloquence. So in just one verse, he defines Balaram, who is unlimited, completely defines in one verse, or to a large extent you can say, when he says that Sankarshana karanato yashai garbho dashai chapayobdhishai sheshascha yasyam shakalasanitya nandakhya ramaha sharanam mamastu. Offering his respects to Nityananda Prabhu, who is non-different from Balaram, Brajendra Nandana Jai Sachisato Hoilo Sei, Balaram Hoilo Nithai. So he says, Sankarshanaha, the first expansion of Krishna is Balaram, Mula Sankarshan, from which comes quadruple expansion and then his quadruple expansions. Then for the purpose of material creation, Karamodakshai, Garbodakshai, Kshirodakshai, soul of everything practically, then come everything. And then Sheshasya Yasyam Shakala. Shesha. And Shesha personally serves, takes the pleasure of personally serving Krishna, while the other expansions helps in the part of creation of the material and the spiritual world. There is no end to the types of service that Balaramji does. There is no end. Ananta, that's one of his names. His names are unlimited, his forms are unlimited, his desire to serve Krishna is unlimited, and his services are also unlimited. So it is amazing that they are one and simultaneously different. It's achintya. In one sense it is inconceivable how they are one and how they are totally different, especially as Balaram. In one lecture, His Grace Govind Prabhu made a very nice statement, speaking of Lakshman in Ram Leela, Balaram in Krishna Leela, and Nityananda in Chaitanya Leela. He said, one is a loyalist, another one is a separatist, another one is an extremist. Lakshman is a loyalist. He can't think, like shadow of Ram. Bharat served him in separation. Lakshman said, nothing doing. Wherever you are, I have to be there. And he didn't, you know, cross the line. He drew Lakshman Rekha for himself also. Never went beyond instruction of Lord Ram. Some places he had to suffer a lot. Therefore, next time when he came, separatist. Can you imagine? Totally different. Wanting to get his sister, Subhadra, married to Duryodhan. And Krishna has to do all the tricks of the trade at his disposal to send Arjuna and get Subhadra kidnapped. Sometimes you wonder, and Krishna is getting fully involved in the battle of Kurukshetra, and Balaram just goes for Yatra, Kartik Yatra. It's amazing. Whatever Krishna thinks, Balaram thinks otherwise. Apparently. And Nityananda is extremist. whatever instruction to the extreme degree he carries. Deliver, the lowest, jagai and madhai, usse kam nahi. So it is very interesting that in everything to see the unity and diversity. To appreciate the unity of things while respecting the diversity is real maturity. Sometimes we only end up seeing unity of everything. That can become impersonal, can become also hodgepodge. When we only focus on the diversity, we could become sectarian, we could become fanatic or exclusivists. So here is the original source of unity in diversity. Achintya Bheda and Abheda. So when I see, especially when I go to Vrindavan and see Krishna Balaram, the first thought that comes in mind is, I was sometimes wondering, Advaitacharya is non-different from Mahaprabhu. Because Advaitacharya is an expansion of Nityananda. And Nityananda is non-different from Advaita. Because actually he himself is that. And yet they are different. And all the Mahavishnu is non-different from Nityananda, who is non-different from Mahaprabhu. But they are different. Hopefully someday I will understand. But I have understood one thing I will never understand, because they are inconceivable. Actually is Achintya. But we just develop an appreciation. That itself I think is first step. Another thought that comes to me when I, especially after reading one book by Niranjan Swami Maharaj, the thought when I see Krishna and Balaram, I see the supreme shelter and the supreme strength. Krishna is the ultimate shelter. You know, atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam utayah manvantara ishanukatha nirodho muktir ashraya. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the culmination, written by Vyasadeva at the peak of his maturity of his realization, after being dissatisfied of writing all other scriptures, when he was instructed by Sri Naraji, that's the time he wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. And there, when this is being, Bhagavatam is being explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, after explaining this, he says, these 10 topics are discussed, and in that, the first 9 is meant to help us to understand the ultimate shelter. Ashraya jani te kahi enava padartha enavera utpatti hetu sehi ashrayartha. Ashraya janite kahi. If you really want to understand who Krishna is, then you have got first 9 cantos. And then, e navero utpatti hetu. But all these 9 source is actually coming from ashrayat. It is just to understand that. Krishna eka sarvashraya, Krishna sarvadham, Krishnera sharire sarva vishvera vishram. Ultimately, the source of everything, sarva karana karanam, that's Krishna. And after understanding Krishna, we need strength to come to that shelter. Because there are so many forces in this world who is pulling us, which is in different ways motivating us to take shelter of everything other than this. Sada samudvigna dhyam asad grahat hitvatmapatham grahamandakupam vanam gato yad harimashrayet. when Hiranyakashipu was in anxiety after controlling the whole universe practically. 5-year-old boy, absolutely helpless, fragile body, is instructing, daring to go in front of his father and telling him, even demigods are scared of approaching Hiranyakashipu. And he's telling, my dear father, the genuine concern, genuine as a well-wishing friend, apparently audacity, apparently harsh, like a sword. But then he's speaking, said, Tat Sadhumani, you want to know what I have learned the best from my guru? Oh, best of the asuras? Sada samudvigna dhyan. Dhyan means intelligent. Sada, permanently. Samudvigna. Udvigna means anxiety. Samudvigna means sufficient anxiety. Samudvigna dhyan. Why? Because you are catching hold of something temporary for shelter. You are a soul. You are eternal. Nothing temporary in this world can actually give you that shelter. Prabhupada writes in one particular purport, other than the lotus feet of the Lord, everything is temporary. Material world, material society, material friendship, love, state, community, nation, etc., etc. So does that mean that we leave all this shelter? Yes, we have to in the core of our heart for our support to attain the perfection of life. Artificially we can't prematurely give them up. It will be hypocrisy. We have to use this shelter, it's like a springboard, to go beyond and get that shelter. And once we get that shelter, gradually release, just like a worm, first catches hold of that other leaf and then releases itself from the previous one. It's a natural and gradual process by which we actually take that shelter while giving up gradually these shelters. Because knowing, convinced, we are convinced that these things are not the shelter. But we have only experienced shelter of these things. We know that is the only shelter, but we have not experienced that shelter. That is our status. Ghar ka na ghat ka. Where we know there is full shelter, we have no experience of that shelter as yet, fully, to live up everything. And where we know there is absolutely no shelter, we have experienced so much shelter. And therefore, this journey to move to the ultimate shelter from the temporary shelters, we require a lot of strength. The strength to come to the shelter, the strength to stay in the shelter, because even after coming to the shelter, there are so many forces within and without that are trying to pull us out. And even after staying in that shelter, to move upward or progress in that shelter requires strength. And that strength is provided by Balaram. Srila Prabhupada, in February 1977, in a lecture on Nityananda Tridashi in Bhubaneswar, spoke about Nityananda Prabhu, and then he spoke about Balaram. And there he said, Balaram is the soul. Nayam Atma Balahinena Labhya. It is impossible to achieve the shelter of Krishna without the mercy of Balaram. And Balaram means Guru Tattva. This is something that at least we can experience Balaram in a very practical way. Otherwise, Balaram is, okay, it is a little bit intellectual. But how does the Guru, Adi Guru is Balaram, how does Guru give us the strength to come to the shelter, to stay in the shelter, to and progress? Niranjan Maharaj explains, he says, Guru, like a mother, does two things. One is nourishment. Mother nourishes us to give inner strength and then also protects us from external dangers of different natures. So similarly, Guru, by his instructions, nourishes our devotion. Interesting, a mother does not feed paneer to a newborn child. Knowing the newborn child, what, how much is its digestive power? Accordingly, sometimes she gives her own milk from her own body for some time. Since I have been doing a lot of annaprashan, I think I can go in the Guinness Book of World Records for having done maximum annaprashan. It's about 5-6 months that they first time some solid food. Otherwise they are not yet ready. Till then it's just mixed milk and a little concentrated, you know, gravy type. So exactly the mother knows how much this person can digest. She may have a lot of food stuff, but at this stage what is necessary for this child? And gradually increases the capacity till he can take, like a 16-year-old, you know. Prabhupada once told, you should feed Krishna like a 16-year-old hungry boy. 12 items complete. And then simultaneously, right from the beginning, protects from the outside elements. Like Mother Yashoda was always in anxiety to protect. Similarly, a guru, by his instruction, nourishes us and nourishes that bhakti lata bij. How to take care of that fragile bhakti lata? It's very fragile and it should be taken care of very nicely. And then simultaneously, through giving knowledge, asatoma sabgamaya, tamasima jyotirgamaya, mrityorma amrutangamaya, chakshudan diloyai janme, chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri. He opens our eyes to see things as they are. One devotee asked Shikshashtakam Prabhu, Prabhuji, how to become a serious devotee? So Shikshashtakam Prabhu said, two things you have to become serious. There are two things you have to take seriously. He quoted Bhagavad Gita 7.14. The first verse, first part of the verse tells you, Daivi hi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. Take maya seriously. Don't play with her. Don't think you are an exception to the rule. Don't think you are... It is a fact, the scriptures are lying on a rock. It's for all people at all time, under all places, in all circumstances. Don't take it lightly. That is seriousness. But if you only take maya seriously, you will go into depression. Because duratyaya, you can't cross it. Mam evaye prapadyante maya metam tarantiti. The only way is to nourish, take shelter of Krishna. So take Krishna consciousness seriously, or the process of bhakti seriously. Both of these, nourishment to take shelter of Krishna, the ultimate nourisher. And then the knowledge to discriminate. Bhukti, mukti, sprahayavat, pishachi, hridi vartate. At different levels, no level one can say that I am beyond. Till the last breath of one's life, those instructions are always kind of coming. So, there are several examples where the instructions of the Guru, instruction of the spiritual master, instruction of the sadhus, or remembering the instruction of Bhagavad Gita through the scriptures have made a devotee who was despondent, a devotee who had become very weak mentally, a devotee who had become extremely hopeless in their situation, which is the nature of this world, dualities of this world, have found themselves tremendous rejuvenation. I'll just say one particular story. Instances where a devotee has got strength. In the first canto itself, there are three places. Vyasadeva got bewildered. And he was internally despondent, dissatisfied. I have done everything, but I think it's all futile. I am not satisfied. And how can people who will read that become satisfied? And that time he took shelter of the Lord. And Naraji came. And he said, you are like the sun, you can enter everywhere. You are like the wind, you enter everywhere. Please enter the core of my heart and find out what is the reason of my dissatisfaction. And Naraji instantly diagnosed. And Vedavyas was completely rejuvenated, refocused. Clarity came and the conviction came to contribute Srimad Bhagavatam to the world. In the sixth chapter of the first canto itself, Narada Muni, in his previous life, as a son of a maid servant, heard from the Bhaktivedantas. The Bhaktivedantas left. And then he was dependent on his mother, 5-year-old boy. Mother is all in all for such a child. And the mother was bitten by a snake. I would like to read Srila Prabhupada's purport to that particular verse in that particular section. It's very interesting. Yeah. Once upon a time, my poor mother, when going out one night to milk a cow, was bitten on the leg by a serpent influenced by supreme time. Just a short but powerful purport of Srila Prabhupada. That is the way of dragging a sincere soul nearer to God. Dragging a sincere soul. That is the strength, to drag a sincere soul nearer to God. The poor boy was being looked after only by his affectionate mother, and yet the mother was taken from the world by the supreme will in order to put him completely at the mercy of the Lord. Completely at the mercy of the Lord. And then, because he had heard from the Bhaktivedantas, at that situation, he did not see things through his eyes. He saw through the ears. Chittete koriyo aikya. I took this as the special mercy of the Lord, who always desires benediction for his devotees. And so thinking, I started for the north.
He remembered the instructions and he got the strength to face the situation, to get clarity of what's the right direction and the conviction to stick to that direction. Prabhupada writes another memorable purport which is worth inscribing in the heart on a line of stone, as they say. Confidential devotees of the Lord, we may not be confidential, but this is confidential knowledge, we can inscribe it. Confidential devotees of the Lord see in every step, this is seeing Krishna everywhere. This is seeing Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra. He is the supreme controller, he is the supreme knower, he is the supreme omnipotent, omniscient and all-loving Lord. He knows what is best for me. See in every step a benedictory direction of the Lord. What is considered to be an odd or difficult moment in the mundane sense is accepted as special mercy of the Lord. Mundane prosperity is a kind of material fever, and by the grace of the Lord, the temperature of this material fever is gradually diminished and spiritual health is obtained step by step. Mundane people misunderstand it. In the 15th chapter of first canto, Arjun, the most powerful warrior at one time, the world champion, the man of the series of the Kurukshetra war, absolutely no question, 6 months later, the same Arjun, returning back with the wives of Krishna, some aboriginal tribesmen come and attack. Same Gandiva, same Arjun, same chariot, everything is same. What an embarrassment. Can you imagine 6 months later? It's like world champion in the World Cup. And then he comes in, Galli mein some cricket match, clean bowled, not once, regularly, 3 times, and regularly every time. I will try to understand. What an insult. And the whole world will come to know this. He was tadvai dhanusta ishavaha saratho hayaste soham rathi nrupatayo yata anamanti sarvam chanena tadabhut asad isharittam bhasman hutam kuhakaratham ivopshamudyam. I would like to read one particular purport when Srila Prabhupada in that particular verse translates or gives the purport to that translation. Now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead Govinda, because they are impregnated with instruction for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and place, which invariably we are going to face. Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. That is the time Balaramji gives strength in the form of the instruction of the spiritual master. If we remember them, if we are sincerely trying to understand them, imbibe them, apply them in our own lives and share them. This is Prabhupada's purport. Herein Arjuna refers to the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita, which was imparted to him by the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. The Lord left behind him the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita, not for the benefit of Arjuna alone, but for all time and in all the lands. The problem which arose in the heart of Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra was solved by the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Ho gaya. That was 6 months back. Now Krishna is also gone. That's the worst part. The worst part was Krishna is now gone. Not just Krishna, all the people with him, all the Dwarkavasis, except 4 and 5, everyone is gone. And and he's getting his wives, some of his wives, and they are also taken away. What could be the state of mind of Arjun? The problem which arose in the heart of Arjun on the battlefield of Kurukshetra was solved by the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. Again, after the departure of the Lord from the vision of earthly people, when Arjun was face to face with being vanquished in his acquired power and prominence. A situation may come when our acquired power and the prominence, like Arjun, when it was needed, the main switch was on and that light was glowing and the fan was giving cool air and everyone was glorifying. And when the mission is served, just the main switch is off. He had lost all the prominence. Arjuna, yeah. When Arjuna was face to face with being vanquished in his acquired power and prominence, he wanted again to remember the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, just to teach all concerned that the Bhagavad Gita can be consulted in all critical times, not only for solace from all kinds of mental agonies, but also for the way out of great entanglements which may embarrass one in some critical hour, which is every moment practically in our life. So in this way, again and again and again, actually Jiva Goswami writes in one particular purport that when Bhagavatam says, you know, Atra Sargo Visargascha Sthanam Poshanam, the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam in the second canto, first chapter, 10 chapter, he says, it don't think that in the first canto only Sarga, Visarga, Sthanam. No, only in the 10th canto you find. This is found, all of these topics are found in all the cantos. All the cantos. In the 10th canto, that is to be relished. But the other cantos are to be practiced. All of us are in the same situation, invariably. But the state of consciousness that they cultivated within Mam Anusmara Yudhyacha. True spirituality is not about the external changes alone, but it is the internal journey. Externally, it may look apparently the same. You may be just doing the same thing. Kolaveche Sridhar, doing the same thing. Practically doing the same thing. Till Mahaprabhu revealed to the whole world who he was. How did he test him? By tempting him. Apparently. What do you want? Kolaveche, come here. Ask me anything you want. He said, don't. Peace, be peaceful, my Lord. Don't get agitated. He's telling the Lord, I want to give you something. Please ask. Cool down. Relax. He said, you please come and continue to harass me. I don't even want to go to this, back to the spiritual world. You just keep coming and harassing me on a regular basis as a regulative principle. 3 hours a day. What is this consciousness? So this is an internal journey. And it's only Balaramji who is giving strength in the unbroken chain of the cyclic succession of the parampara to follow this. since there is 9 more minutes by this watch, I will share one more story. In the 4th canto, which somehow I found it very interesting. You all know the story, but I'll repeat it again. This is the story of Dhruva. He saw Krishna face to face. He saw the Lord face to face. And then he came back. And then his brother Uttam, he was not married yet, went to Yaksha in the Himalayas, and one powerful Yaksha killed him. And when Dhruva came to know, he said, the emperor's son, emperor's brother. And Suruchi went the same way. Suruchi was so attached to him. He left, she also left. Dhruva went with his chariot and all his weapons. And as he went to the Alakapuri, the house of the Yakshas in the Himalayas, he just sounded his conch shell. It was so terrible that all the wives of the Yakshas got scared. And 130,000 Yakshas came and started attacking. And Dhruva Maharaj alone, he would shoot arrows, like 3 arrows would go from his bow, and practically destroyed. It went on. Battle went on. Eventually the Yakshas realized, we can't fight with him. Whoever was remaining, they all ran away. Dhruva Maharaj was standing there. He said, I want to see this Alakapuri. Because he just went to the outskirts and had, blown the conch. But he said, these guys are mystical, as Savananpu was telling. Maya means mystical. So these guys are mystical people. So he was thinking, and suddenly a roaring sound started coming. Imagine, suddenly it became dark, and it was like a huge storm, dusty storm that started coming, and then overcast with dense clouds, severe thundering, glittering lightning started coming. Try to stand in some lonely place in the middle of some forest and let these things happen, you realize what you go through. Otherwise, sitting under a beautiful, floor, all lights on, prasad waiting. I said, chalo thoda entertainment, pious entertainment. Try to imagine this situation. Pouring rainfall. Not only rainfall, it was of blood, mucus, pus, urine, stool and marrow, and trunks of bodies falling from the sky. So many times I've heard this from the Bhagavad. I wonder, my God, difficult to imagine. Next, a great mountain appeared in the sky, and from all directions fell hailstorms with lances, clubs, swords, iron bludgeons and great pieces of stone. Dhruva then saw many big serpents with angry eyes vomiting fire coming out to devour him. Then groups of mad elephants and lions and tigers, and then like pralaya, fierce sea and foaming waves and roaring sound before him. All over him, it's not that we can run behind. All over him. The demon Yakshas are by nature very heinous. This is a translation. And by their demoniac power of illusion, create many strange phenomena to frighten one who is less intelligent or who is weak in their intelligence. I was thinking, maybe we have never experienced something like this, but in our mind, much more fearful situation is imagined by Maya. So why do people commit suicide for apparently very small things? What seems to us to be very paltry reasons. How much fearful, how much distressed they must be. Interesting point is here. When great sages heard that Dhruva was overpowered by the illusory mystic tricks of the demons, they immediately assembled to offer him auspicious encouragement. Dear Dhruva, O son of King Uttanapad, may the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who relieves the distresses of his devotees, kill all your threatening enemies. The holy name of the Lord is as powerful as the Lord himself. Therefore, simply by chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord, many men can be fully protected from fierce death without difficulty. Thus, a devotee is saved. After hearing this, Dhruva touched water for purification and picked up an arrow made by Lord Narayan. As soon as he touched that astra, Narayan, given by personally by Lord Narayan, to his bow, two things happened. Number one, all illusions of the yakshas disappeared, like material, Prabhupada writes, like material pains and pleasures vanquish when one becomes fully cognizant of the self. Illusions disappeared. Sharp arrows with golden shafts and feathers like wings of swans started flying from it and destroyed all the enemies. It doesn't even say he was shooting arrows. He took that Narayan astra and he just touched it to his bow and pulled it. All illusions disappeared and arrows started flying from there and killing all the inimical forces. And Srila Prabhupada writes two things in the purport. He said, same word, mamevaye prapadyante mayametam tarantite. Krishna has supplied us an astra, sango pangastra parshadam. He says that astra, which is given in accordance with the great devotees and which is to be chanted in the association of devotees, yagyaihi sankirtanapraye yajantihi sumedhasa. And then he says, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hai Andhakar. What is Maya? What is darkness? Absence of light. He says Maya means absence of Krishna. Krishna and Maya are simultaneously, which you choose. As soon as you choose Krishna, Maya disappears. As soon as you choose Maya, Krishna disappears. Choice is ours. So as soon as he chose Krishna, Maya disappeared and he had the ability. As soon as there is awakening of Krishna consciousness, the illusory pains and pleasures of material existence is vanquished. And therefore, Kirtaniya Sadahari, Prabhupada says. So on this auspicious day of Balaram Jayanti, we can only remember how Balaramji is constantly serving Krishna. His existence is only to serve Krishna in unlimited ways. Unlimited desire to serve Krishna in unlimited ways. All his intelligence, all his strength is simply used in pleasing Krishna. And in the parampara, we have seen Srila Prabhupada personally and his sincere followers, how their existence is simply till the last breath, practically. One, two days before, Prabhupada was, with last breath left, he was translating the 13th chapter of the 10th canto. I was kind of offensively thinking, why does he do this? What's the necessity? Everything is done. Basically, his life's existence, there is a prana, it should be service to Krishna. So we can take the strength to remember Krishna always and the intelligence to serve Krishna. We can pray to Balaram for this. Thank you very much.
श्री बलराम जी की, श्री कृष्ण बलराम की, हिताय गौर प्रमाणम जी।